Are you ready to ignite your brand, your business, and your life? Welcome to the Firestarter Podcast. I'm your host, Willa Kammerer, and this is a space for bold conversations on building your high-caliber personal brand, scaling your online business, and leading with purpose. Here we dive into the strategies, systems, and stories behind today's most magnetic entrepreneurs, thought leaders, and creators, alongside world-class experts in sales and marketing, performance, mindset, and leadership. Together, we'll dive deep into what it takes to build a premium personal brand that not only stands out, but is good business. From camera confidence to software systems and brand authority to life alignment, each episode is designed to spark clarity and fuel your next level. As a single mompreneur and movement maker, my mission is to help you not just build a brand and business, but to craft a life and legacy on fire. I asked you before and I'll ask you again, are you ready to ignite your brand, your business, and your life? If so, tune in and let's dive in. Welcome to the Firestarter Podcast. I'm Willa Kammerer. Today, we're diving into a topic that I love, confidence on camera and how to use it to build real influence and lasting impact. And today, we're joined by Emmy-nominated TV host, client, and friend, Tanya Mem. Welcome to the Firestarter Podcast, Tanya.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be on this.
So excited to have you here officially. So I'd love to just kind of like start, you know, for our listeners, like digging into a little bit more of your journey, your career. You know, how did you get started on camera?
Oh my gosh. Okay. So, all right. Where do I begin? So I was born in Canada on a farm. And I grew up during the days watching like Star Search and like That's Incredible and all these shows that probably most people listening don't even know what I'm talking about. But it was like, there were like five channels. Okay. And I was obsessed with TV and I'm like, how am I going to get from this farm town to like television? How am I going to do this? I was obsessed with it since I was a kid. I wanted to be on TV. I don't know why, but I did. And then so I decided to get into pageants because it was like really the only way at all that, especially back in the day, they were like a big deal, right? And so I remember I was 11 years old and I remember saying to myself, I want to live in the big city, either New York or LA, and I want to be on TV. How do I get there? So when I was 15, I was asked to audition for the Miss Teen Niagara pageant. And I'm 15 and I'm there and I get into it and I'm doing this thing. And I realize I'm not really a pageant person because of just, especially back in the day, there was really like a set, you know, it's like a specific thing that you had to act and be and look and all this stuff, very specific. The entertainment business was like that too, way back then. And so I made it to the top five and I thought, oh my gosh, maybe I'm going to win this thing. But I knew deep down inside that like, I was so afraid, so afraid. And I'm going somewhere with the story. So afraid that like, what is the judge going to ask me? Like, it's that judge's question that all the pageant contestants are always freaking out over, right? So I'm standing there and I know the question's coming because I made it to the top five. And so my palms are sweating, my feet are sweating, and I'm there. And I'm like, I don't know if I could do this. Let's hope it's an easy question. And they ask me in front of 250 people in the audience, what is euthanasia?
Oh my goodness.
I don't know if you knew what that was when you were 15, but
yeah, maybe not.
No. So I was like, okay, I could say like three answers. There's three things I could do. I could run off the stage. I could fake it, or I could just go for it. Right. So I thought, okay, well, I'm just going to go for it. And I said, well, euthanasia is young people in an Asian country.
Honestly, when you said it, that was the first thing that came to my mind until I realized that, you know, you were referring actually to the medical word.
Well, it was the medical word. That's what they wanted me to answer. But technically, I've been told since then, technically, I actually did say is the right answer.
Exactly.
They didn't think it was the right answer. Everybody laughed at me. I was laughed off stage. And I have to tell you, like, if cell phones were around back then, I probably would have never, ever become a TV host. Like,
or you would have gone viral and become a TV host the next day.
Right. Yeah. For the wrong reasons. Right. I mean, so it was very embarrassing. I was very humiliated. I did not win the pageant. I didn't move any further. And I hid in a cave for like weeks. And so, you know, in my bedroom, in my house. And so my dad and my mom were like, okay, you know, you got to get up. And, you know, if you fall off that horse, you got to get back on and keep moving forward. And so a few years later, I was asked to go for the Miss Niagara pageant. And my parents were like, you should just do it. Just like I said, okay, well, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to study really hard. I'm going to make sure that never happens again. I'm going to read all the newspapers at the time. I'm going to study. I'm going to work out. I'm going to exercise. I'm going to be like the best version of me I can. And I really did. I studied, like I did everything I could for like 8 months, a year. I was like super great shape, knew all the, you know, current events, everything. Studied the history, studied this, that. And I ended up winning Miss Niagara. And then I went on to win Miss Canada. So that's amazing. How it all started for me, really, was, you know, winning that pageant. And then I had to travel. So I traveled to South Africa and I traveled the world and I started public speaking. And that's really what kind of got me going was the pageant circuit. Yeah.
I love that. I love that. And then I know like you have a long career in Hollywood, you know, you're based in California now, and I know you've had like so many different roles. Can you walk us through like the various iterations, you know, of your career on camera and some of, you know, the roles that you've held over the years? It's amazing.
Yeah. So I, you know, being a pageant winner back in the day, and then I moved to New York City and I went to the American Musical Dramatic Academy. But when I started auditioning, it worked for me and it worked against me. It worked for me more for like legality, because I could get, years later, I could qualify for my green card. So like, because I wasn't legal at the time, technically, well, I was because I was a student, but then you have to get your student visa and then you're H1O and your HB1 and whatever else it is, right? So years and years and years. So it helped me with that. But when you're talking about the entertainment business, people automatically already sort of sum you up because you're a pageant winner and you have this facade that they don't really want you to have when you're on camera. It's a whole adjustment, right? So, but I did get to where, you know, I did get to New York and it took me 300 auditions. So it took me like about 4 years to get my first national commercial with Tony Danza. And it was a telephone commercial that a telephone company doesn't even exist. It doesn't even exist anymore. It was for MCI. Do you remember MCI? You probably
don't. Yeah, I do. I do, actually.
I was like, should I say it? Should I not?
Yeah.
So I got this huge commercial. At the time, you know, you get an international commercial and I made like $130,000 on this one commercial, which those don't exist anymore either. So I struggled. I mean, it was a good 8, 9, 10 year run where it was hard. I mean, I worked very hard in New York City. I did tons of, you know, hosting at restaurants. Like I was the person who would seat the clients and lots of cocktail waitressing. I was like, you know, the Barbie representative for Barbie company during Toy Fair. I did shoe modeling. I did like all kinds of
New York is going to put you, you know, it's not an easy place to live,
it
right?
Is not
you
an
know,
yeah. I was constantly working.
But if you can make it there, you can probably make it most
bring
places.
It anywhere, right? That's what
Yeah.
That's true. That's what they say. So, yeah, and I just kept going and going and going. And then I got a small skit on Saturday Night Live with Sylvester Stallone that I have. And I got my SAG card. And so it like it kind of, you know, you need an agent so bad, but your agents want you to have already had work. But then you can't have work. You don't get the work unless you have an agent. So it's kind of like one of those things. You have to work for free, do whatever. So I did that for quite a while. And then one day I started off as the DirecTV spokesperson. So I don't remember if you remember the days where everybody was like stealing the DirecTV. They were stealing the DirecTV signal. And so everyone had like,
oh, yeah. Yeah.
DirecTV. Okay. So I was the spokesperson. I did customer news for DirecTV for 5 years and I grew it. I didn't grow it. They grew the company from like 5 million to like, I mean, this was like hundreds of millions of customers. Right. And so it was a growing company and I grew with the company and I was like a known person just because I was the news person for this DirecTV channel. I would get recognized everywhere. Like everywhere. It was the weirdest thing to get recognized for. And then from that, I got a show called Robotica where I worked with Amit Zappa. And that was, do you remember like Robot Wars and BattleBots? And I was Robotica and I was the host with Amit Zappa. And we had the greatest time. And it lasted for like 2 seasons. And then I don't know what happened. But then from that, I started to get like these were serious roles, you know, well, not so much DirecTV. It was a good one, but it was Robotica was a serious, you know, TV series. And then I auditioned for this show that came out of the blue. It was when reality just started. I didn't understand it. Like, what do you mean it's not scripted? And what do you mean people just do whatever and you film it? Like, it didn't make sense to me.
Right. So different from like the constructs before. Right.
You know, yeah. Like going from that to that. And so I auditioned for this show and I come from a family of home builders. So My family builds houses in Canada. And I have nothing to do with the business, nor did I ever want anything to do with the business. But I grew up hearing and learning about the business from my father with all these like conversations at the table. And so I ended up auditioning for Sell This House. It was in some hotel room. It was the weirdest audition ever. And they said to me, they said, okay, you got to walk in the room. You have to introduce yourself and introduce the show. It's called Sell This House. You have to set up a character, like the you have to mention the two homeowners. Like all this information was just thrown at me. I was literally about to cry. And then I had to read teleprompter. So they tested me on teleprompter, mm-hmm. They, and voiceovers. Like it was a huge audition. And I was like, this is for some, you know, they started off paying me like $1,500 a week or an episode, you know? And I was like, what is this? It's not even that much money. And what is the reality? Right. So anyways, yeah, I ended up getting that role. I heard that it was Samantha Harris actually got the show first, but she was tied up in another contract. She's worked a lot too. Mm-hmm. And so I was number two and I got the show. And so
that's
I was
amazing.
On it for like 12 years. Yeah.
I love how those things, like you never know how it's going to, you only like looking back, right? See how the pieces fit together.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a long process. And then that was kind of the show that I had become known for. And then that grew into Sell This House Extreme, Move This House, Smart Home Nation, which I actually created and also hosted and executive produced. And then I was on Home and Family on Hallmark Channel for a long time. Did a bunch of stuff and like other stuff too. But yeah, travel shows. I did a Disney show.
Amazing. I love watching your reel. It's like, wow, just so many lives lived within that, you know, on camera. Yeah. I'd love to. And I'd love to like fast forward a little bit now into, you know, kind of like how you've parlayed that, you know, long history of your work into, you know, supporting individuals, executives, you know, leading on stages and sharing your story. You know, how have you kind of evolved your career, you know, from that time on camera, which I know, you know, we've talked, you know, about just the demands of that lifestyle as well and being a mom and, you know, what point did you reach and, you know, how have you evolved your career now to kind of better fit where you are now and what you're building in the future?
Yeah. You know, life happens kind of in a way where some of it might be your decision to have this happen. And some of it is just life's decision and you got to go with it. Some of it you have to accept along the way. Right. And I loved my career. I loved it, but at the same time I was worn out all the time. Like I just wasn't available. I remember one year I had 33 days off all year. I was hosting five shows. It was nuts. And they were all like, some of them obviously were part-time and some had a season during these months and some seasons during that month. But I would be gone all the time. I would literally I had an assistant that would pack my suitcases. I would drop my one suitcase off, grab the next and go. it was insane. But I was young and I was in my 30s and, you know, early 40s. And then I wanted to have a family and so I ended up on the show Home and Family on Hallmark Channel. And it was just exhausting. And there was a lot of stuff, you know, that was kind of going on in Hollywood behind the scenes that I was worn out from it all. So there's just many reasons why I decided to sort of take a break. And so I did. And it was a very hard decision. I decided to, you know, concentrate on being a mom. And so I have a daughter, she's 14 now. And this happened in about 2016, 17. So it was a little while back. And then I took some time off, didn't work for a while. Then you go through this whole identity crisis. Who am I? What am I doing now? And how do I do it next? And what this? And then by then, you know, social media was huge. The whole business started changing, like way changing. And I'm like, I'm kind of falling behind here. You know, what do I do now? And then Sell This House ended up coming back. So A&E asked me back 7 years later. They asked me to host the show again. So here we are, we're on the road again. And then COVID hits and all these other things. And then I'm executive producing another show. So now I'm busy again, but my daughter really needed me. She really, really did. So I'm like, okay, now I'm leaving on my choice. Like now it's time for me to. So I did that. And then it took me a little while to figure out what I wanted to do because I'm like, now what do I want to do? And so I decided to create. It was actually Crystal Stewart, who's now a giant TV star, on Tyler Perry's show Beauty in Black. She's the star on Beauty in Black. She used to own the Miss USA pageant, and she and I have been friends for a long time, for a while. And she asked me to create a series of courses for her Miss USA contestants. And I also judged the Miss USA contestant pageant that year, the year that when Ebony won, or Arbony. And anyway, so that's how it all started. I created these courses, the girls loved it. And then it morphed into, I had EXP, which is a really incredible real estate company. They asked me to join them since I have all this home design. So I was like, okay, you know, design experience. So now I'm an EXP agent as well, but I train real estate agents. Okay. So it started off. So I did this whole big, you know, thing that I created for real estate agents, and it was going really well. And I loved it. Like, I love training people, entrepreneurs, people that have an entrepreneurial mind, confidence on camera, because we all have to now get ourselves on camera. And so I just created this whole thing of everything that I knew from being on TV and interviewing a ton of celebrities and doing live work and red carpet events. I mean, I have literally done it all. And I did it all for a very long time. And, you know, and I was being asked to train people even individually. Well, I want to know how do you do that? How do you have this confidence? Or how do you storytell? How do you structure a presentation? How do you get on stage and like express yourself? And so it took me about 3 years to put everything together. And so that's turned now into, I'm coaching executives. And so right now I'm coaching a team of six very, very high profile executives. And it's been amazing. So I do entrepreneurs and executives, and I'm teaching them how to structure their presentations, how to get on stage. And even for executives that are, they're presenting, like AI right now is a big thing, right? So there's executives that have to pitch their AI program to the general public, but the jargon they use and the voice they use, like, you know, the words that they use are just way above the average human, right? And they also need to be able to structure it so that the brain can really take it in, the people that they're talking to, and understand this concept. So I also help executives do that as well. So to come across clear when they're presenting a very complicated subject to the general public. So
yeah, sounds like it's like there's a lot about connection there, and, you know, the ability to connect with the audience and be able to like translate, you know, these kind of like complicated topics and know who you're talking to.
Yeah. And it's also getting them to like connect is huge. Connection is huge. It's bringing that warmth into something that they feel has been so structured for so long, especially with the executives. Like, they're always like, you know, this and this and this is, they talk very, but when the other person on the other end is trying to follow this whole pitch that they're trying to do, especially when it's high stats, high numbers, high, you know, you have to structure it in a way so that the person on the other side can actually take in the information. Because sometimes, you know, you'll have all this information thrown at you and you're sitting on the other end going, I have no idea what they just said. You know, so yeah, and it's from body language to, like, there's a thing called the three levels of expression. You have to bring that in, and it's a whole thing. Yeah.
I think when someone hears, you know, like confidence on camera, you know, that just like probably a lot of people get a little bit like uncomfortable feeling like, oh, it's just like not for me. Like, I'm just not confident on camera. And I guess I'm so curious, you know, what would you say to that person or listeners if someone's listening to this and being like, well, you know, Tanya's just, you know, kind of like born for this. It's her natural thing, but that's not me. You know, how would you begin to kind of micro coach someone who towards starting to embody and feel a little bit more like they have that inside of them, the ability to be confident on camera? And why is it important?
It's very, well, it's really important now because we all have to show up on our video in video and on stage and all these things to promote our brands, especially for individual brand builders or like executives, entrepreneurs. But first of all, you know, I was not born with it. That's why I tell the story of when I was in the Miss Teen pageant. It actually took me years and years to feel confident to be able to speak. And then I got really used to speaking on television with like a crew and the whole thing. And then speaking on your phone is a whole other thing.
Right? It's so funny. You would think it would be the counter, but I've heard that again and again. I've experienced it myself.
Right. It's a whole other thing. There's nobody there. You're putting on this phone.
Just you versus you, you versus the box.
It's so weird. Like, what am I doing? Yeah. So that was another adjustment. But really, it's just, I mean, I say this a lot, but if you really want to do it and you really want to be confident on camera, if you want to have confidence on camera, first of all, you have to want it. I can't make anybody do it, right? And you have to show up and practice and do the little exercises that I give and do the, you know, because it really is about practice and about turning on that camera. And you don't have to post it. Nobody has to see it. But I would say just start off just filming yourself. Take a deep breath. I have this whole like 20 ways to confidence on camera. It's a little free toolkit that I can give you if anybody wants it that's listening. But it's just taking that time to say, okay, I want to do this, and just do it. And just do it every day. Do a little bit every day on camera. And I'm telling you, so I have this competition. It's called the 30-day video challenge, right? But I'm now creating a 14-day video challenge. When you commit to something, even for 14 days, especially 30 days, and you just do a 1-minute video every day, just do it every day. I'm telling you, by day one to day 30, you've already gotten past whatever is holding you back for the most part.
Right. I'm going to do it, Kenya. You've got to send me a link. I'm going to do it. What's the link if our listeners want to check that out?
Oh, go to my website. All the programs are there, and the 30-day challenge. I don't know if the 30-day challenge is up there yet. I'm narrowing it down to 14 days. But if anybody wants it, just go to my website and reach out to me through there, and I'll get you guys in there. So,
and a little backstory for how part of how we know each other is, I wonder who built that website, Tanya. Could it have been the Firestarter team?
Yes. You guys built my website. I love it so much. You know, I tried to get a proper website together for years. I know I've told you this story, and I really love it. We're in the tweaking phase now, but it's like the hard stuff is over. It's so beautiful. And thank you so much for that.
I think it's just so interesting because obviously, like, you exude so much as a person. Like, you have such a depth of experience and, you know, everything that you bring to the table. And what we hear so often from our clients is like, and see is, you know, expertise, charisma, all of it unquestionable, but like that digital presence is where sometimes there's that disconnect. And I think that's when you came to us, there was this level of disconnect. As you said, you've been trying to kind of get your website, you know, to feel like it aligned with you, to feel like it matched you. So I'm so glad, you know, it's been such a joy to collaborate with you and to kind of like help create that resonance between who you are, which is, you know, unmistakable confidence on camera and amazingness, and to have your whole, you know, digital presence match that.
Thank you. Yeah, no, I mean, you guys have taken my everything that I've learned, everything that I've created and everything, and finally made it look really cool. But it took years. Like, I started creating this, gosh, when I was working with Crystal Stewart, that was like 4 years ago, you know, and I just couldn't get anybody to create a website that I liked, that I was happy with. And then I finally, you know, found you guys through Michelle Cunningham, and who is also amazing. And, but it was really like, as far as the forward facing, client facing visuals, you've really taken me like to where I want to go and stuff. So it's been great working with you. I'm with you guys forever.
Well, we've loved it and look forward to continue building and supporting on the journey. And you know, I know we don't have forever and ever, but I would also love, I mean, I would be, you have such an incredible, you know, personal story that you have been living for the past year plus, you know, yeah. And I feel like it, you know, helps kind of set up everything that you're building now. I mean, you are so resilient, and I just would love if you could share a little bit more about, you know, what your life has looked like in the past couple of years, and, you know, how that informs everything that you're building, where you're going next.
Yeah. So, you know, it's interesting how life sometimes just happens and you got to go with it. It's your choice and how you look at it. But my family we had our home that was pretty much burnt down in the Palisades fires about a year and a bit ago. And it completely turned our entire life upside down. Like, it has been crazy. And I'll never forget the day that, you know, we walked out and we all got in the car to drive my daughter to the school bus. And to drop her off for school that day, little did we know we were never going to be back at the house we're still not back. Like, I'm still living in a tiny apartment in Santa Monica. And it's been, we have to move again because we have mold in this place. So now we have to move again. It's our fourth time moving in a year and a bit. And it's been very, you know, and all while trying to, all while building this and speaking on stages and, you know, and just, it's a lot. And I've also... No, it's interesting because I've had some friends get so upset with me because they're like, well, you don't make me priority. You don't, you know, you cancel on me. You cancel this, that, this, that. And I'm just like, I am not going to show up the way that I used to show up in this friendship, right? In any friendship. But those that are understanding and can go with the flow, you know what this is like, go with the flow through a big huge adjustment and a big.
Well, and you have to, I mean, I think that kind of like foundational understanding in friendship or in any relationship that, you know, you have to focus on your foundation first. And without that, you know, strong foundation, you're not going to get anywhere.
I can. And so there are times, yes, I'm going to cancel and I'm not going to be that that friend that shows up like I used to, but I'll be there again one day.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I happen to be going through one of the most difficult times of my life as far as what's going on behind the scenes. And I need grace for that. I give myself a lot of grace, right? But I am not going to let this whole thing stop me. I'm so blessed for meeting people like you and the people that do hire me to speak on their stages. It's, you know, I take them on this emotional roller coaster, whoever hears me speak. And yeah, it has changed my whole outlook on life. It's changed my outlook on my business. And it's been a very interesting, very beautiful, very scary and uncertain, you know, experience. I'm still in it. I mean, we don't have our house back. I don't know if we're going to get it. It's a whole thing. We're working hard on it.
Well, I just, you know, I see you, I feel you. And I just know, you know, I would not wish it on anyone, but I just know that, you know, so many people, whatever that looks like, endure really hard things in life. And so I think it only, you know, again, would never wish this upon your life story. But at the same time, I think it just, you know, adds this just deepened layer of, you know, ability to connect and really, you know, help people in their own lives, which I think is, you know, at the core of what you teach. So thank you so much for sharing your story. I would love, you know, for our listeners, how can they find you? How can they connect with you and, you know, find your work?
Just go to the website that Willa and her team have created. It's tanyamemi.com. And again, if you guys want the 20, it's the confidence on camera is I have 20 tips. Just let me know. It's on my website. I'll make sure that it's very available for you to just download it and check it out. And yeah, it's a little free thing that can get you started if you're really, really having a hard time showing up on camera. Check it out.
Amazing. And Tanya is amazing. And I hired as well to be my stage coach and everything. So fully endorse her, her work and her services. I believe her in learning from the best. So just love you, Tanya. And that's Tanya Mem, M-E-M-M-E. And thank you everyone for tuning in to another episode of the Firestarter Podcast. You can find all of Tanya's links in the show notes at thefirestarterpodcast.com. You can also find us on YouTube under my name, Willa Kammerer, K-A-M-M-E-R-E-R. And we'd also love if you find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. If you enjoyed this conversation, leaving a short review goes such a long way in helping our listeners find more conversations like this. So until the next time, we look forward to seeing you on the Firestarter Podcast. Thanks so much for joining me for another episode of the Firestarter Podcast. If this episode sparked something for you, I would love to stay connected. Please be sure to subscribe to the Firestarter Podcast on YouTube on my channel, Willa Kammerer. Leaving a quick review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify goes such a long way in helping this message reach more people who are ready to step into their next level brand, business, and life. Head over to willakammerer.com for show notes, resources, behind-the-scenes insights, and ways to work with me and my team. Also, I'd love to connect on Instagram and LinkedIn at Willa Kammerer. That's K-A-M-M-E-R-E-R. Thank you for being here, for choosing growth and the courage to build something meaningful. Until next time, keep trusting yourself, taking bold action, and living like the fire starter that you are.